Thank you. You may be seated all over the house. I want you to take your Bible and turn with us tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And the reason I let you go ahead and sit was because I'm going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture, and I want to expound what I feel like the Lord's put on our heart, maybe in a service or two or three to come. I don't know. I just want to follow the Lord. And this has been on my heart, and a lot of people have preached from this passage and done wonderful jobs, and I just wanted to visit again tonight. I believe we need to be reminded of how the Lord has worked in bringing us to God. I bless His name. Amen. To Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Look at verse 7, the first part of it. The Lord God of heaven. Now drop down in the bottom of that verse. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Look at verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had gone or done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for a hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bow in your presence tonight, and I want to thank you, God, for all that you have done for us in the meeting thus far this week. I appreciate every song, every penny that's been given and pledged. Lord, every message that's been proclaimed, every heart that you've touched and blessed. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be among the people of God, the fellowship and the food and all the blessings. God, you've been so good to us. I just want to say, bless your name as I bow here in your presence, your servant. God, I know I'm flesh, and I know this old wicked flesh, Lord, would grieve thee at a drop of a hat. God, search my heart right now. Purge me from anything, action, or attitude about us that is grievous to thee in any way. Lord, cleanse my soul. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray your power be on us tonight. Lord, that the church might get blessed, that souls might get saved, and Jesus would be magnified in everything that's done and said. Now, Lord, help me to die to self and let you work through us tonight, your word in our midst, Lord, what you want to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on the Eliezer call, and I want to have an old man of God, Billy Kelly, to sing my introduction.
Was a day in early springtime by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer paused to rest his camel train. He had found a bride for Isaac ere the evening shadows fell, for his weary journey had not been in vain. So he took the fair Rebecca, decked in jewels rich and rare, back to Abraham, his father, far away. Where Rebecca loved her Isaac, and he loved Rebecca fair. Oh, it must have been a happy wedding day. From the Father God above has come down to earth to find a worthy bride. For our Isaac over yonder has prepared our tents of love, and he wants his fair Rebecca by his side. We have left our kinfolk gladly, we have bade the world goodbye. We're going to a land beyond the sky. We shall soon behold our Isaac in that blessed eternity.
With it.
Oh, get ready, the evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding, our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the cattle train comes in. Oh, get ready, the evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding, our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the cattle train comes in. In the evening when the cattle train comes in.
Thank you, Billy Kelly. And all the people said, amen and amen. Genesis chapter 24 is a long chapter, and I believe it is devoted to presenting us a picture how God the Father sent a servant to get his son a bride. And as you think about Abraham as typifying God, and you think about Isaac as being a type of Christ, and you think about this unnamed servant whose name may be given back in chapter 15 and verse 2, Eliezer, which means God my help. And may I say that Eliezer is a beautiful type of the blessed Holy Ghost. And Eliezer has been given a charge and a task to go yonder into a foreign land, yonder, way yonder, 500 miles, one way, yonder, to get a bride to bring back to Isaac. Amen. I'm glad for the work of the Holy Ghost in securing a bride for Christ. Well, I want to preach a little while on that subject, maybe just begin the message tonight. I don't know how it might go. I want you to think about the Eliezer call. The Eliezer call, number one, involves a plan. It involves a plan. And this was the plan of the Father. The church is not an afterthought with God. I'm telling you what, He made plans and preparations before He ever made the earth. This is the plan of the Father. I mean, Abraham is the one that put it into motion, and God is the one that put the plan of redeeming love into motion. And I'm glad for His plan, and that it included me, and it included you, and it included whosoever will. Amen. Not only did this Eliezer call involve a plan, but number two, it involved a period of time. Isaac is grown mature, 40 years old now. But I look here in the scriptures at how things unfold. Scripturally, the timing of Genesis 24 follows Genesis 23, which follows Genesis 22. And in Genesis 22, you find Isaac is taken up to Moriah's mountain and there bound and put on an altar. And he's been commanded Abraham to slay his son. And Abraham has the knife lifted. And my friend, and God says, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. And he looked and saw the ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And he went and offered the ram in the stead of his son. And he called the name of that place Moriah, in the mountain Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. What God did, God said, I'm going to give you a substitute to spare your son. But when it come to what God did for us, hey, God provided His Son to be our substitute so that we could be saved by the grace of God. Now, involving this period, now look here. This verse, chapter 24, follows that event, which speaks typically of the death and even the resurrection of Christ. Paul makes the application that in type, at least, Abraham received Isaac from the dead. He makes that application in Hebrews chapter 11. But I want you to see that the bringing home of the bride, the going after the bride, takes place after Calvary. After Calvary. By the way, you do know that Moriah's high point is Mount Calvary. You do know, my friend, that's where that Jesus hung and bled and died. That's where God provided a lamb. Remember when they was going up and Isaac said, Father, here's the knife, here's the wood. Well, where's the lamb? And Abraham looked at him and said, Son, God shall provide Himself a lamb. That's what God did at Calvary. Amen. He provided a substitute for you and I. Now, why are you saying that? Well, because, hey, there can't be no gathering out of the bride until, my friend, there's the offering of the sacrifice. And that's the way it followed. By the way, chapter 23 speaks entirely of the death of Sarah. And the significance of that is, when Israel rejected the king, amen, God buried Israel. God buried her amongst the nations. And the next thing on the agenda, by the way, I was looking at this earlier, and I noticed this, that you don't find Isaac anymore after he comes down from the mountain mentioned scripturally. You don't even see him mentioned in chapter 23 where his mother is seen being buried. But I'll tell you, when you see him at the end of chapter 24, hey, it's then when he greets his bride brought home by Eliezer. And so I look at all of that, how significant all of that is. I want you to see this. Eliezer call involves a plan. It involves a period. It involves a pledge. Oh, yes, a pledge. A pledge that Abraham made with his servant to pledge to him that he would carry out his will. When I think about the pledge, especially when I think of that in connection to the Holy Ghost has been sent to secure a bride, but he is also the pledge and the earnest of our inheritance. He has given us a promise and he's going to keep it. And I'm glad for the promise of God. Amen. Not only the pledge, but it involves something else. I'm hurrying through here. It involves a promise. I'm talking about this going and getting the bride. It involves a promise. Oh, look at it in verse number 7. The Lord God of heaven, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. I'm glad for divine intervention in bringing a bride. And by the way, and the way God got us is by the promise. Amen. By the word of God. God, we got our faith. Amen. If it wasn't for the Bible, you couldn't have no faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And thank God for the promise. And so the bringing home of the bride involved a promise. And then it involved a preparation. Look down in verse number 10. We read here, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city Nahor. Here is a preparation. What do you mean a preparation? Well, Eliezer had all the goods of Abraham at his disposal. He's getting ready to make a 500-mile trek. And this ain't on interstate, fellas. This isn't on paved roads. This is not on cobblestone highways. This is across the waste, howling wilderness, dangers and toils and robbers and beasts and hot and cold. And my friend, storm and sandstorms, a long trip to make. Had to be a lot of preparation. And my friend, so there was provisions made for both going and coming. Amen. Not only provisions, but I think about the pack animals. These camels, my, I'm telling you how they speak of the grace of God. And maybe we'll get in on some of that later on this week. But then there was protection. He had a group with him. He had some men with him. He had swords. He had a way to protect them going and a way to protect them coming. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is our shield and our protector. And bless God, he not only calls us out, but he keeps us in on the way home. bless the Lord. It involved also precious things. What do you mean, precious things? Well, there were presents presented to the bride-to-be. Oh, yes. I'm telling you what, I'm glad that the Lord has taken jewels, amen, and presented them unto us, and we get them right here, amen. I'm glad for the precious gifts that He has bestowed upon us that He saved by His grace. It involved preparation. I'm talking about the Eliezer call. Another thing is, it involved a procession. A trip had to be made. A long trip. A long trek. All the way across the desert. The mountains, the streams, the perils, the dangers. 500 miles by camel. By camel. And our walking one, either one they wanted to do, but they're 500 miles. They made that trip. They got there and they came to a place. They came looking for a well. Because you see, God does business at the well. He always does business at the well. The Bible said in Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so this Eliezer call involved procession getting to the place. Now I want you to think something else. It involved a prayer. Oh yes. You see, when he got there to the well, we find in verse 12 through 14 that old Eliezer begins to pray. Oh yeah. You say, well now, Brother Rudy, does the Holy Ghost pray? Sure does. Sure enough does. And if it wasn't for His aid and His unction and His anointed, you and I couldn't pray. And sometimes we don't even know how to pray, but I'm glad that He knows how to pray in every situation. I'm talking about the work of God getting His bride in. Look at this scripture, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our help here. Eliezer's name means God is help. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost helped me to come to Christ. If it hadn't have been for His work, I never would have got to the Lord. I couldn't have got to the Lord without faith. For the just shall live by faith. And I couldn't have got faith without the Word. Where'd the Word come from? Holy Ghost. The Bible said holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's where the Word... By the way, did you know the first time you see the mention of the Spirit of God, He's a-moving? And I'm telling you what, He's still a-moving. He's a-moving in this hour. He's a-moving. Amen. I'm glad for the Word of God. You know, when I pray... When I seek God's face in prayer and I come before His throne, I come to God, our Father which art in heaven, Almighty God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, Almighty God of Abraham and God, Isaac and Jacob. I come to Thee in the name of Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And I start thanking God. And I get the praise in God. And I start giving God the glory. First I start with God the Father. And I want to say, thank You, Father, for Your unspeakable gift. Thank You that You so loved that You gave. And then I go and I get to thanking Jesus. And I say, I thank you, Jesus, that you loved me and gave yourself for me. And you bore my sins in your own body on the tree. And I bless your name. Blessed Lord Jesus. And then I get to thanking the Holy Ghost. I get to thanking the Holy Ghost for anointing Christ so he could be the Christ. Amen. And for moving on holy men to give us a Bible. And not only did he move on it to get it, but he moves on it to keep it. It's not only, amen, inspired, but my friend, I'm telling you what, it is preserved. And the Spirit, and something else. He not only gives that word, but then he gives the anointing to preach it. And may I say that anointed preaching is the only way that word can be effectual in the hearts of men and women. It takes a moving of the Holy Ghost. I get to thanking the Holy Ghost for the Bible. And I get to thanking him for moving on my heart. That night, an old sinner, he moved on my heart. Oh, with the good word of God, he turned the light on. That anointed preacher was a preaching, and that word came like a hot arrow and found, amen, its target in my soul. And the Spirit of God showed me I lost and undone. Amen. Then what did he do? The Holy Ghost began to draw me. And amen. I believe you got to get under conviction, and it's Holy Ghost conviction. If you don't get under Holy Ghost conviction, all you're going to get is religion. You won't get regenerated. Hey, the Holy Ghost gave the Bible, gave the anointing, draws by his power. I thank the Holy Ghost for drawing me. And I came to that old-fashioned altar. And down in that old-fashioned altar, he birthed me. You got a heavenly father. We got a heavenly mother. You can't have a birth without a mother. And the Holy Ghost is our heavenly mother. I got born again of the Spirit. He is our help here. Woo! Bless God, he is. And he helped us to get to God. And he's helping us every step of the way. And he hadn't left us. And he hadn't forsaken us. He has not, amen. I'm telling you what, he's guiding us. He's leading us. He's correcting us. He's disciplining us. He's chastening us. My friend, he still turns the light on when we read that Bible. You get to reading that Bible. And boy, you may have read it 100 times. And all of a sudden, whoo! I ain't never seen that before. That's the Holy Ghost turning the light on. You see, this Bible, that's a King James Version. Man, you'd have to have a telescope to read it or a microscope on. For an old man, I can't read that one, but I can sing King James. But this Bible, they say, scholars say, well, you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Chaldee, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can understand all the Chaldee, and you can understand all the Greek, but my friend, when it comes right down to it, without the aid of the Holy Ghost, you can't understand none of it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Hey, this book was written more than in Chaldee, more than in Hebrew, more than in Greek. It was written in the language of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the inspirer, and the Holy Ghost is the interpreter. And Jesus said, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the one that illuminates that word. And bless God, he's the one that produces that faith. And he's the one that births you in the family of God. And then when he does that, he climbs on board. Yeah, he got on board. He got in me. Cry, amen. And he said, I'll never leave. And he sealed me unto the day of redemption. He didn't pickle me. Some of y'all look like you've been pickled. He sealed me under the day of redemption. I'm glad for the help of the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad He helps us in our prayers. Aren't you glad? You can get out and pray. And pray and sweat and cry and toil and wrestle. But oh, when the Holy Ghost gets on you just right. And you get in the barrel, as the old men used to talk about. Amen. Y'all looking kind of funny. The old timers talked about getting in the barrel. And what are you talking about? So they said it like this. Well, the atmosphere is full of demons and devils. The prince of the power of the air. Said, but the Holy Ghost, amen, push out around away from you like a barrel, and you'll have a straight channel to the glory world. And they talk about getting in the barrel. Well, the Bible says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. You ever get to praying in the Holy Ghost, and He gets to praying in you and through you to God, you'll know, bless God, business of picking up down here and up yonder, because He is our help here. I bless His name. I bless His name. Well, let's go a little further. Then this, we're talking about the Eliezer call. We're talking about calling out that bride. Amen. And He's doing it right now. And I don't know, the last one's going to get in one of these days. I hope it's in Cherethon. And bless God, the next thing you know, we're shouting in the glory world. But hey, the last one's going to get in one of these days. Amen. I'm looking for that hour. But this Eliezer call involves not only prayer, it involves providence. Don't let that word scare you. It means God's working. God's working. He's so smart, He can work with man's will. He can work in spite of man's will. Bless God, if He makes us mind to do something, you can't stop Him. You can't hinder Him. I'm glad He's God. Amen. He don't have to get my permission. He's just God all the time. And guess what? He's still on the throne. And He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. See the providence here. Now, what are you talking about? Well, in our story, we just read it. It's amazing. He's a praying, and before He gets done praying, the answer's standing right there. It's amazing that God's, amen, He knew before He started praying what He was going to pray. And bless God, He done had the answer. He done providentially had the answer on the way, probably before He even started praying. Hey, I don't know what's on the way, but He does. Bless God. I got a feeling He's got something on the way. Amen. Providence. Providence of God had her among all the others. Her to come. Her to be there. Her with a pitcher on her shoulder. A little virgin. Beautiful. Amen. Little lady. Amen. So courteous and so kind. And man, it providence had the right one. They were probably hundreds of girls. Hundreds of women. But hey, the right one got to the right place at the right time. And it amazed the servant. Amen. It's amazing to me how God does that. He just does that. You know, I'll probably have to just uncouple here in a minute. But I want to run a little rabbit right here. I noticed something in here that caught my attention. Look at it with me, y'all. Y'all all right? Y'all okay? Hey, it's still early. Look here. I want you to see this in verse number 17. Look at those first four words. And the servant ran. Now, would y'all agree that the servant here is a type of the Holy Ghost? Would you agree with that? What I'm looking at here, I'm seeing this, and here's a message, fellas. Y'all can preach this and send me $5. Bless God. Here's a good one. God on the run. Did you hear what I said? God on the run. The Holy Ghost ran.
Amen. Hey, when that word was preached in his power, I sit there, lost man. He ran with that word to prick my heart and draw me unto Christ. Hey, but that ain't the only place. That's the Holy Ghost. Well, I go to Luke chapter 15, and I see those pictures there. You have the lost sheep. It had to do with the shepherd, Christ. Had the lost silver. Had to do with the woman. That's the Holy Ghost. Then you had the lost son. Amen. And the lost son out there, in the far country, came to himself and come home. And guess what? When his father saw him coming, and guess what? And if the father there speaks of God the Father, I see something happen. I see where the father ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. Amen. Kill the fatted calf. Hallelujah. Bring me a robe and a ring and some shoes, for this my son that was lost is found. God gets in a hurry only when it comes to saving old sinners. Woo! God on the run. Now wait a minute now, Lord. There's a Holy Ghost seeing run. See a picture of that. I'm just running this. There's a rabbit right here. Not only God on the run, the Holy Ghost running to meet Rebecca, and the Father running to me. Well, where's Jesus at? Well, I had old brother Aaron preach for us on Sunday night, and he got over there to 1 Samuel chapter 17 with David and Goliath. Amen. And David tried on Saul's armor and said, "This ain't gonna work." He went down and got him 5 smooth stones and put one in the sling. Amen. And you read on in there, and if you would agree that David, who slays the giant, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who slayed the giant of sin and death. Hallelujah, yes. But you know what it said of David when he got out there? He ran to meet him. God on the run. Now bless God, if you got any preach in you, that'll preach, man. I'm talking about the providence of God. Not only does it involve providence, but I want to say that it involves peculiarity. What do you mean peculiarity? Well, Rebecca was special. Oh, yes, she was unique. She was a very special woman. She was special in her practice, the way she conducted herself. She was special in her purity. It'd be hard to send them in this day, wouldn't it? Hello? Finding some that retain their virtue? I'm going to tell you young ladies, and I'm going to tell you young men, keep yourself virtuous. Save your virtue for your mate. Save your virginity for your mate. Amen? That ain't popular, but it's needful. Amen. But anyway, her purity, her politeness, man, her performance. She watered 10 camels. Now that may seem like, but now have you ever went to a well and had to pull up water? And I don't know if they had a windlass, you know, a winch that they had to turn. They may have just had a rope tied onto a bucket or tied onto a pot. And man, let it down in that well. And those wells, my friend, some of them are deep, especially in that dry. And she had to let down the well, and she watered 10 camels. And I'm telling you what, this tells me something about her. She wasn't no lazy. Right. All these young girls wouldn't pass the test here. They're too lazy to learn how to cook. Too lazy to learn how to clean. If you don't believe that, ask mama about their bedroom. You open the door, the avalanche back crushes you. Could I get a witness? But man, I'm telling you, she was industrious. Because you see, each camel could drink after a long haul 25 to 30 gallons. That's from 250 to 300 gallons. That little lady, my friend, she did it. She did it politely. She did it graciously. She did it industriously. She is a special woman. And that old Eliezer just stood there and said, my. I can just see that. Hey! Not only did it involve peculiarity, but it involved, brother and sister, something else. It involved presence. He asked her who she was. He told her. He told him. And boy, I'm telling you what, he reached in that, praise God, that sexual. And my friend, he pulled out an earring. Amen. And he pulled out bracelets. My soul. And the bracelets and the rings in the worth of gold in that hour, 10.5 shekels. That was the equivalent to a common man's wages for a year. And guess what? That was just the beginning. That was just, hey, when we came to the well, hallelujah, when we met our Eliezer at the well and bless God confessed who we were, and then my soul, he began to bring jewels out of the Word of God and then, amen, and put them on us, but this ain't all he's got. Hey, there's a lot yet to come. Hey, there's a journey. I'm telling you what, she puts an earring on and them bracelets on. Boy, she didn't expect all of that. She didn't see all of that. Oh, my soul. Boy, when I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't know it was going to be this good. I didn't know it was going to be this good. And that's just getting started. There's more to come. Later on, they get to the house. Amen. He goes back to the treasure chest and begins to endow her with a robe. Amen. And more precious things and a dowry to the family. I'm telling you what. And I got to thinking about it on that way home. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that's all right. On the way home, 500 miles. I'm sure her backside got sore as a rising. You ever rode a camel? I didn't say smoke one, I said rode one. <coughs> 500 miles. I'm sure it's rough. She didn't know where she was going, she didn't know where she was at. And I'm sure she'd get a little scourge on down the road. But the old, old Eliezer began to tell her about what he looked like and how much he was worth. And he'd reach in that bag and get her another jewel. Amen. Reach in that bag and get a little salve for her soreness. Amen. And sit around the fire and brag upon Isaac and how good looking he was. And how well. And boy, I'm telling you what. And her little old sad heart would get cheered up because there were jewels. Jewels of grace and mercy and supply for the journey. It involved presence, and I'll deal with that more later. And then it involved this. I guess I should end somewhere right here. It involved praise. Boy, when he saw, he bowed his head. Amen. And he praised God. And he worshiped God. And I want to tell you what, God is pleased with praise. And the kind of praise he likes is praising God in the Holy Ghost. Oh, my soul. Now listen, a lot of times we praise God, feel it or not. And we ought to. But man, now listen, I didn't want to preach tonight. I was ready to pull a saw and go hide among the stuff.
After last night, God sitting down in here like that, I wouldn't have wanted to follow the God. Lord, have mercy. But I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost sat in here last night. And they got to praising God in the whole. And bless God, I got in on a little bit of it myself. In fact, I liked it more than I could handle. In fact, I liked it got in a lob lolly. So what's a lob lolly? How many of you know what a lob lolly is? About three. Back in the wagon days, you get in that mud, you get some of one of them places, you come down and they'd get that thing, go down to the axle tree. And man, you'd roll it back and forth. Roll it back and forth. And the more you roll, the deeper it gets. And that's what I got into. I got in a lob lolly last night. But it wasn't me. It wasn't me. The sweet, blessed presence of our heavenly Eliezer sat down here in this place. And God was a-moving with his power. And I began to see men prostrate. And Jesus glorified and magnified. And saints were a-praising. That Indian got a hold of me last night. Under God, I'm telling you what, I thought he was going to rapture me out of here. He got to hollering, a war whooping, and praise God. I didn't know if he was on the warpath or we was getting ready to go to glory. But I'm telling you what, God was here because he's a praising God in the Holy Ghost. And when the Spirit of God, amen, stirs you deep down inside and it comes out, it brings glory, glory, glory to God. Not the preacher, not the singer, but to God, to God, to God. Well, we just got started. Y'all believe that, don't you? Those of you that's preached it. Hey, it involved not only that, but involved a purpose. And I'll just jump this and throw it in because I'm going to come back to it if I come back to the message. In verse 58, after he, Eliezer, had went to the family and told him his business, he didn't want no delay. Amen. He wanted to get things done. Amen. And presented the wealth, told the story. The providence. And they agreed that she could go. And he got up next morning and said, I'm ready to go. So, well, let him stay around here 10 days. Hey, delay is the devil's work. God's dealing with you. You better do business while he's dealing with you. But they finally called her. Well, we'll call her and ask her. And they ask a question to Rebecca. Wilt thou go with this man? She had a decision to make. Amen. She was called on to go to a place she'd never been, to marry a man she'd never seen, never to return to his home again. I'm telling you what, all she knew about that man was what the Eliezer told her about and what he showed her and what he did for her. Amen. And said, bless God, a man that can send all of this, he must be something. And what he's describing is somebody I'd like to get to know. I had never seen the face of Jesus, but the Holy Ghost has presented a portrait to my soul and showed me his loveliness and the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. To God, and I decided I'll go. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Amen. And then y'all ready for it to be done? Who we got singing? Hey, you want, who we gonna get to sing? Find out. Anybody want to sing? It involved a parting, leaving her former life behind. And it involved a pathway. A pathway. Verse number 61. That's amazing. The whole trek. How many weeks would it have taken? Camel. 500 miles. The whole trek is referred to in one verse. Just one verse. The trek. Man, the pathway was rough, it was rugged, it was wild, but it ain't too bad when you got Eliezer, amen, to encourage you along. And then finally at the end of the story, you have the presentation. Glory to God. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's hear old Kelly sing it. Can you pop that back up? Let's just have old Kelly sing it. He ain't got nobody up here. I'm going to get Kelly to sing. Hey, Brother Kelly, let's stand to our feet. Let's let Brother Kelly sing to us a little bit more.
It was a day in early springtime.